any number of times in my life, and I suspect in the lives of everybody, I've asked the question, what difference would it make if Jesus had not appeared on this earth? I think it's a real question. I think it's a quite valid question. The longer you look at it, the more difficult the answer becomes, I think. Are we more virtuous, more generous, more honest, more courageous than the people of Jesus' own time? I don't think so. I mean, the evidence is scant if it exists at all. And I think this is a reasonable context within which to think about the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is simply the culmination of Jesus' career. That is, the world would be seriously bereft of glory if Jesus had not appeared. And we would not have had, I don't think, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day, the Berrigan brothers, Archbishop Romero, Gandhi, Malcolm X. I don't think that these people would have appeared if we had not had the paradigm of Jesus to contend with in our lives, in our world. But further, a preliminary, we need to be very careful. When Paul uses the word flesh and opposes it to spirit, he's not talking about sex. Paul rarely talks about sex. For Paul, the word flesh is simply, as the word world in the Gospel of John is, means everything in me that resists God, everything in me that resists transformation into a nobler, more honest, more courageous, more generous human being. And with that in mind, and I think that opens up all kinds of possibilities for self-examination. So what does the Spirit do? Well, we have the famous passage in Luke. It's a reversal of the Babel experience, where total strangers can communicate. That sounds like a simple thing. But I think it is a useful exercise to ask yourselves, for me to ask me, how often do I really listen to anybody else? How often do I really feel I am received by anybody else? The world is full of language. I mean, we're awash in a sea of verbiage, I think. But precious little of it, I think, is genuine communication. But that's exactly what Luke was trying to get at when he had all these strangers hearing themselves taken seriously by being addressed in their own language. When that happens, as Karl Rahner famously said, that's the Spirit of God operating. When someone else takes me seriously, that's the Spirit of God. And it raises the stakes. How many times have we been taken seriously by our bosses, by our neighbor, by our friends? And I don't think I'm too jaded when I say that. I think it is a fairly rare event. But it does happen. And when it happens, we can clearly identify the work of the Spirit of God opening our ears to hear each other really. So that Paul, over and over in his letters, will talk about the Spirit of God doing precisely what Luke said, creating a community. That's what the Spirit of God is about. Now, there are all kinds of ways to create a community. I mean, the army is a community of a sort. A jail. A community of a sort. But in neither of those instances, and there are many others, businesses, I don't think we can say that we are really heard, or that we can really speak our minds, really tell other people who we are. Honestly open ourselves. But it happens. The world would be infinitely darker place if Martin Luther King, if Gandhi had not existed, if Dorothy Day, Oscar Romero had not existed. And so we need not despair of a spiritless world. Although God knows the evidence is overwhelming. But it's precisely in the face of that evidence that we need to be very clear about what the Spirit does. Some not magic ooga booga from the sky, you know, who falls down on the earth and makes all kinds of magic here. No. So the Spirit is alive in me, as Paul will say, when I become aware that I am a member of a family. When I constitute a community with my fellow humans. That's what we're supposed to be here. That's the whole meaning of church. That's what we're supposed to be about. But even, as you know, in the church, too, we misconstrue the very nature of community, I think. Believing that if everybody can sign off on the same list of propositions, then we're church. We're not. That doesn't make any sense at all. If that's all we have, common list of propositions to which we assign our name, we've lost. So the Feast of Pentecost is enormous importance. And again, it is the culmination of who Jesus was. The odor of Jesus, the aroma of Jesus still hangs around in our world. And that's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God. Whenever, as I get to go on, or whenever one human being takes another human being seriously, listens, receives, considers, walks beyond the bounds of their own self-constituted world, and opens up that world to the stranger, above all to the stranger, to the non-persons, to the invisible ones in our world. And here I'm talking just about the physical environment. That's where the Spirit is. So we need to be reminded it again and again, because we can constantly misconstrue the Spirit as well. If everybody's marching in a straight line, you know, if everybody's following orders, you know, then we must have this. No, we don't. Those are ersatz. That's phony. That's bogus. The Spirit of God does nothing more than transform us into a military formation, then we're all in a very bad way. That's precisely not what the Spirit of God does. Humanizes me. Makes me permeable. Makes me look into the eyes of every other human being and see a sister or a brother. And when I do that, that's the Spirit at work. And only then.